Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you so much that you are here among us now. And I just pray, Lord, that you would open our minds and hearts to your word, that it wouldn't be me speaking, but that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in my early 20s, I saw an altar call that I will never forget. It occurred in a small church in the city where I grew up. As you know, in high school, two friends and I started a ministry for the kids in the punk scene at my high school that we called the Hardcore Bible Study. And several years later, about 10 of my friends and I, from this ministry, we went to a small service at a very tiny little church. We made up most of the crowd in this small church, and all of us were Christians, in spite of our leather jackets, combat boots, and interesting hair. And so we listened with great respect to the sermon, and we appreciated the minister sharing the gospel with the congregation, only to find that at the end of his sermon, he gave a very long altar call for those who want to give their lives to Christ. We were all Christians, and so we sat there praying that God would speak to the hearts of anyone there who doesn't know him, and that they would respond and come to know Christ. The preacher then looked a little frustrated, and I began to realize that he might be aiming his altar call at us. And so he then changed the altar call, and he began to say that it's for anyone who's drifted away from the Lord, who wants to reconnect with God, to come forward and respond to the invitation. Again, we all prayed that if anyone was there in that category, that they would respond. But we didn't go forward because we were all walking with the Lord. So then the pastor became even more frustrated, and he changed his altar call again for anyone who wants a new fire in their relationship with God, come forward and receive that. And again, we prayed that, wow, if anyone is just cold in their relationship with God, that they would go forward. But we didn't go forward because we all felt pretty passionate about our faith. Finally, the pastor changed the altar call again. This time it was for anyone who just loves God and wants to follow God faithfully. And the language was such that no Christian could refuse, right? And so there I am, and I'm watching all my friends and everyone in the room go forward and kneel down. But I felt that something was not right. And in the whole church, there was only one person that did not go forward. Can you guess who that was? It was me. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And then I saw it. Because as all my punk friends were kneeling in the front, church members took out cameras and started taking pictures of these punks kneeling at the front of the church so that they could show what a powerful ministry they have. During recent months, we've learned about leadership, about the destination toward which God is leading us as a church, and about building our life upon the rock so that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the wind and every wave of teaching. Last time I spoke, we learned that God calls us to be truth speakers. People who are being radically transformed by God's truth, like hot water being transformed by tea. People who live out the truth and then who speak God's truth. Today we will see that as those who are infused by, who live out and who speak God's truth, God calls us to live out words and actions that also communicate God's love. One way to think about this is to think about God's love as a boundary, as a circle within which we are called to stand, to act, and to speak. Okay? Our actions and our speech are to remain within the boundary of God's love. Today, and in my next couple of sermons, we'll look at some ways this reality affects and shapes the way that we speak as Christians, the way we live out the truth of God within the boundary of love. We will first consider speaking the truth to non-believers, and then later we will look at speaking the truth in love to believers. As truth speakers who engage the non-believers around us, we reject manipulation and deceit, we speak plainly, and we act clearly, and we use manners that match our message. When Paul describes truth speakers in Ephesians 4:15, he is purposely contrasting them with the cunning and craftiness of the deceivers that he mentions in the previous verse, who lead people astray, tossing them back and forth like waves and blowing them here and there like the wind. In verse 14, Paul is describing those who manipulate others, which means that they influence and they use others falsely or deceitfully for their own purposes. They communicate one thing, but as they get others to do what they want them to do, it becomes clear that they actually have something else in mind. The story I shared at the beginning is an example of manipulation. Truth speakers who act within the boundaries of God's love reject the tactics of manipulation and deceit that the world around us uses constantly. You see it in ads, in commercials. You find it at school. All these people trying to get you to do things, be someone, buy things for their own purposes. True speakers do not deceive non-believers concerning God's truth, and they do not manipulate a response. Instead, they trust the power of the Holy Spirit's work in each person's life, knowing that only God can melt a person's hard heart and draw them toward the truth. In John 6, Jesus twice emphasizes that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. In one of his sermons in the year 1881, Charles Spurgeon quotes a famous Puritan proverb, "The same sun which melts wax hardens clay." The same sun which melts wax hardens clay, and the same gospel which melts some persons to repentance hardens others in their sin. It's interesting, John Calvin, a famous theologian, he was actually also a preacher, and his theology arose out of his preaching and church ministry. One thing that influenced his doctrine of predestination, apart from the many verses in which it is found, is that he would preach, and some people would respond, but many wouldn't. And so he articulated what was going on in this doctrine of predestination, that God was melting some hearts, but allowing others to be hardened. To reject manipulation and deceit means that we trust the power and work of God to draw people to himself. And if someone we meet rejects God's word with a hard heart, we continue to pray for them. We continue to love them. We continue to share with them God's truth and God's love. But we never, ever change God's word to make it more acceptable to them. And we never manipulate a response. Recently, I had dinner with a young couple searching for spiritual truth. Both of them grew up in China and have had very little exposure to Christianity. So we sat in Stefano's down the street, and I opened my Bible and I explained to them that Jesus is God's Son who came to earth to die on the cross for our sin, to open the way so that we can receive forgiveness and eternal life. As we talked, they shared with me that they recently felt very disturbed because someone had told them that Jesus is the only way to God. They could not see how this could possibly be something that Jesus taught. In this moment, I knew that I had to share with them the truth and love of God, even if that seemed unpleasant to them. So I turned to John 14:6, and we together read the words of Jesus where he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Then I turned to John 3:18, and we together read, "Whoever believes in the Son is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Their faces then frowned, and I could tell that they were disappointed. You see, they wanted Jesus to be easier to follow. They wanted the gospel to be easier to accept. But I could not give them what they wanted. I could only offer them the truth and the love of God, even if that means that they reject it. I placed my trust in God's ability to soften their heart, to draw them to himself. As truth speakers, we never use the tactics of manipulation or deceit, even when we appear foolish, narrow, and backward to the people around us. Second, we communicate God's truth and love using plain speech that openly sets forth what the Bible teaches and clear action that transparently points to the reality of God's truth and love. When we do so, we demonstrate our respect for the intellectual integrity of the people around us. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul writes, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade people. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to you." You see, there should be no mystery at all about what it means to be a Christ follower. The people around us, by hearing us and by watching us, should know exactly what the truth of God is. They should know who Jesus is and how they may experience his love. As they engage us with their questions, with their doubts, their challenges and concerns, we need to give them the best, the clearest answers we possibly can. When I was a freshman at Bethel College, I had a professor named Greg Boyd. Later, when I studied at the University of Minnesota, I would attend a debate each year that was sponsored by a Christian group on campus and by the agnostic atheist group on campus. And so every year the atheists would invite a nationally known atheist to come, and the Christians would invite Greg Boyd to come, and they'd have a debate on an aspect of Christianity. One year it was, did Jesus rise from the dead? Another year it was, does God exist? And I was always so impressed by the solid research, the careful arguments, the creative appeals that Greg Boyd would make during this debate. As a younger man, I had read Greg Boyd's book, Letters from a Skeptic, which contains the correspondence between him and his father, who was an atheist. Throughout the course of this book, his father writes letter after letter, asking questions about the world, such as, why does God allow there to be so much suffering? Questions about Christ, such as how can we believe that a man is God? Questions about the Bible, such as how can you believe that the Bible has more authority than the scriptures of other religions? Finally, after many letters back and forth, Greg Boyd's father accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. Greg Boyd left teaching and now leads a church in Minneapolis as a pastor. And I happened to attend his church the Sunday after his father passed away. With greater joy than his sorrow, Greg Boyd shared with the congregation that his father is now with the Lord in heaven. Greg Boyd reminds me of the way truth speakers respect the intellectual integrity of the non-believers around them. They use plain speech, clear action to communicate the truth and the love of God. Later in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We are to seek to persuade the people around us intellectually, without manipulation, without deceit, as we pray that God will open their minds and soften their hearts to receive his truth. Finally, our manner must match our message. The way we speak, the attitude we present, the sensitivity of our approach must match God's tremendous love for the people to whom we are speaking. One commentator wisely suggests that the more painful a truth will be to the person we are speaking to, the more kindly and sensitively we must deliver it. In other words, we need to be aware of how our words will land, how they will be received, and how people might feel about the quality of our presentation. Throughout Christ's ministry, his message caused offense. And Paul speaks of the offense of the cross in Galatians 5:11. The truth of God's word will already offend those who are perishing. We as Christians don't need to add our own offensive behavior to the mix. In Santa Monica, California, part of Los Angeles, you can sometimes find street preachers on the 3rd Street promenade. These preachers set up two microphones. This is actually a picture of them, about 10 feet apart, one for them and one for the audience. They then try to provoke a response by loudly and abrasively proclaiming God's judgment on sin without also sharing God's grace. People passing by who feel hurt and confused by this loud and abrasive behavior then try to argue against the preacher. A crowd then forms to listen to the arguments that unfold. Much of what the Christians say is technically correct, but it's incomplete, and it's taken out of the context of God's saving love and proclaimed in a way designed to provoke offense. Whenever I see this happening, I am deeply grieved. And I am aware that this is not how our Lord behaved, who came to save sinners and whose followers included tax collectors and prostitutes, those who were rejected by the religious people of that day. We must proclaim the truth and love of God in a manner that is both honest and loving. Let's trust the Holy Spirit to work in and through the truth of God that we share simply and openly with the people around us. And when some are offended by God's truth and love, let us continue to reach out to them. Let us pray for them. Let us love them. But let us not add to the offense of the gospel our own offense through our own foolish or abrasive behavior. This morning I've shared a couple of real-life examples of how we're not to act as Christians toward the non-believers around us. I feel that it's very important to close with a positive example. As I pondered who to hold up as a model for us, I thought of this great preacher or that one, this amazing Christian role model or that one. But I was reminded that the greatest role model of all is Jesus Christ. when criticized by religious leaders because of the sinful people who were following him, Christ replied, "It's not the healthy who need the sick. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And in John 6, when Christ's message was too confusing and too offensive, and many followers deserted him, Jesus turned to his ragtag disciples and asked them, "Are you going to leave me now too?" Peter then replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God." God calls us to be truth speakers, to stand up within the boundary of love as we communicate God's truth and God's love. This means that we reject manipulation and deceit. We speak plainly and act clearly, and we use manners that match our message. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we live in a world filled with so many messages, so much manipulation, so much deceit. But you call us to be truth speakers of a different order. You call us to be truth speakers who share your love and your truth with everyone around us. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a vision, a glimpse, an understanding of this high and noble calling, and that you would so fill us with the Holy Spirit that we could not help but exude with our words and actions the truth that you have come to bring. And let us do so always, Lord, standing within the boundaries of your love. In your name we pray. Amen.